Okay, I think today we can begin a little with what is the preambles of prayer. For we work it, I will talk later about the this first idea of prayer, but the preambles of prayer means the dispositions that I need to have when I go to prayer. If I don't have that dispositions, it's very difficult to pray. Why? Because prayer is a way of opening to God, that is prayer. We are close to God because many things are our first original sin. And with original sin, a lot of problems in our history, our own sinfulness and our sins, and this process has make obstacles, hindrances, attachments inside, and things that are not letting. The goal of prayer is opening to God. Because he is the only one who can bring us to the union with him. You cannot get there. He's an action of him. It's a grace of him. Whatever you try, you can be a Buddhist and try to get whatever level of transcendental prayer. It's nothing. You don't touch God in any way. It's all about their imagination, their thinking, and their meditation. Here it's all about action of God. It's called grace, as you know. And it's grace because it's gratis, no? So which means that it's free. It's no reason. It's no reason. That is called grace. In Spanish, we understand it very well because gratis is the way we use for the things that are free, no price. So, and God doesn't give them because you are good. He gives them because you open to him. The only problem God has in us is the obstacles. And how we open to God, how we work that process, that way, that pilgrimage of opening to God, is called faith. The only problem we have is we have a very little faith. And God wants us to help us to grow that faith because he wants to give himself to us. And it's all prayer. Is for the union with God. That is the goal of prayer. That is what is called happiness. That is the goal of prayer. But now, that is a way to get in there because it's something that he has to do in us. It's not something that we can do by ourselves. We can't. I mean, it's very important to get that. I can't. The better you get that, the more you can receive. So faith is the way I open to the reality of God. And it's very important that at the beginning of prayer, I make an act of faith consistent and with content. Not a general act of faith. That doesn't work. So it's a concrete act of faith of who is God. Okay? And now, all the contents of faith, so God is Father. Okay, good. Are you getting in a relationship in which you are becoming a child? If not, you are not making an act of faith. So the act of faith is not, it's not a thinking, it's a relationship for breaking the ego. So when we believe, what we do is opening to other. Because we don't see him. God is here, but are you seeing him? No. So how I can open to God that he's here? I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. How I can get that? I don't feel the Holy Spirit touching me. I need faith for recognizing. And God is Father, I believe or I don't believe. When I believe, what I do is opening my existence, my being, my life to the fatherhood of God, so becoming a child. If I am not becoming in my dispositions a child before God, means that I am not making an act of faith. It's clear what I say, it's very simple, but it's very important because faith is very simple. It's for the little ones, for the poor, and for the simple. So it's the things in a spiritual life are very simple, are very difficult because we are very complicated. But the things are very simple. God has created them for the little ones and the poor. So, other thing, Almighty. God is Almighty because I believe in him, or God is Almighty because he is Almighty? Obviously, the second is the truth. But we don't work that way. So if I am going to prayer and I am not getting clear in my heart, in my mind, in my desires, in my feelings, in my existence, that He is Almighty, I'm not putting myself before God. And maybe you are before an idea that you have. Maybe you are trying to find something. You are not going to find nothing. God is Almighty. And that makes me live this moment in a total different way. If that is not happening, it's because I am not believing that He is Almighty. You can ask when I am saying the things I am saying then, so we can work then in our prayer life. God is mercy, the same thing. I mean, I understand that God is mercy is because I am going to open to Him all the things in my heart that are not letting God to be me. So mercy is about my miseries, it's about my weakness, it's about my poverty, it's about that He loves me there. But I need faith for believing that. Because usually with people what we try is to be good. With God you don't need to be good. He knows you perfectly. And He is trying you to come to the truth of yourself. And we will see that mercy is the key instrument of openness to God. Because it's where the other things are accomplished in His action in our hearts. But we need faith. I insist this point is very important. When you go to prayer, the first thing you have to do, if you want to pray, is open your heart in faith. You do the steps and He loved me until the cross. I mean, things that bring you to before who you are. If you are not getting in a personal relationship in prayer, and there is some books, papers, other things are helps, but only helps. In the moment they become the goal, we are losing the time of prayer. I mean, it's good reading, yes. It's good papers, yes, but it's not praying. Praying is going in a personal relationship with God. And the first thing I have to understand is who is Him. Santa Teresa of Avila even talks about that this is what she calls prayer with consideration. And he talks about that even vocal prayer, if it is without consideration, so without awareness of who is Him and who am I, that is not prayer. Even vocal. So, I mean, imagine the importance that is if we are going to a prayer that we call it meditation. Meditation is a first step. The call is not meditation, the call is contemplation. But at the beginning, because we are, our faith is very little, our hope is very little, our trust is very little, we need to work then, because they are virtues and they grow when I make acts of virtues. As all virtues, when the moment is more difficult and you make a stronger act of faith, you are in growing in faith much more than when you are very happy and you are saying, oh my God, how good you are. That is no growth. Growth is when the trials are in your life, when the difficulties are in your life, and you now come and say, my God, you are here, you love me, you are almighty, everything is in your power. And when you go there, you are really growing in your faith. And you are learning to open your heart to God, not according to your feelings, but according to faith. Because the problem of our faith is that we are always surrendering our faith to our feelings, to our imagination, to our desires, and God is blocked to act in us. God only works through faith. Is clear the point? Because the only way I break the ego, we will talk about this, is there the as humans we have a spiritual level and a psychological level. The psychological is created for the spiritual. The psychological, we are close to animals. It's more perfect than animals, have more capacity than animals, but it's very close to animals. That is the reason animals have feelings, animals can understand something. I mean, they don't have the spiritual because they don't have a capacity of... What is the psychological? The psychological is all ego. The spiritual is all communion. So when I am going to the spiritual, if I am not getting in communion with other, is I remain in the psychological. It's about me. It's not about other. So the spiritual is communal. God is a spirit and is Trinitarian. So in God, who is a spirit, and is the beginning of all things, the mystery of the spiritual is a communion of three persons. So every moment that I am moving in the spiritual, I have to be in communion with others. If that is not happening, no problem. I need the psychological, I am with my ego, and I try to come out from the ego. How? I only know one way. If you know other, explain it to me. Faith. It's the only way. That's the reason we need faith. We need faith for breaking the psychological, egocentric behavior that every one of us has, because original sin and other problems that we have. And now we need faith. Faith is opening to other. And more faith I have, more I open to other. It's true that true faith, when you really make an act of faith and you understand who is God, that He's your Father, that He gave Jesus to die on a cross for you, that Jesus loved with a love that is crucified and now is giving Himself in the same way that He gave Himself in the cross, now is giving Himself to you, because that is the Eucharist. If you begin to open in faith to the mystery of God, I mean, immediately and necessarily is going to come another virtue, that is hope. And confidence or trust. And these things are going spontaneously. That is the reason in the gospel you never see the word trust or confidence or hope. Why? In St. Paul was today making the difference, but in the gospel, no. Your faith has saved you. It's the expression of Jesus always, no? When healed the son of the father, the son who was with a demon, the Samaritan woman. I mean, all the healings of Jesus are your faith has saved you. Why? Because God works through faith. Faith is essentially opening to the almighty power of God. If you don't believe that God is able to change everything now and here, you don't believe that God is almighty. Because almighty means that for Him, nothing is impossible. That is what says the angels told Mary. That is what Jesus told when, who can be saved? If that is the condition of humanity, if that is so tough, marriage, you cannot divorce, say, for God, nothing is impossible. So the way of marriage is the almighty power of God. The reason marriage is so difficult, because we are not opening to the almighty power of God. I mean, but this almighty power of God is the essence of prayer. It's His love for you, that is called mercy. Yeah? But in the moment I understand how much He loved me, how much He wants to give me, necessarily I come in here. You know, Romans 8:32. Romans 32 is the one who didn't spare His son for us. How? He's not going to give us everything with Him. How? Because we don't believe that the one who is almighty has given His son to die on a cross for me. How He's not going to give you everything? God gives in the measure you are waiting in Him. This is how you open to the reality of God. Faith is for opening to the reality of God. For stop being in my egocentric, selfish world that is about me, because cannot be in any other way. When you are alone, all is about you, your feelings, your emotions, your thoughts, your plans, your things. And it's all egocentric. And that is very difficult to love, because as we can see now, I mean, so the only way of breaking the egocentric behavior is opening in faith to God. All Buddhist thing is an egocentric religion, as majority of religions. They are religions for self-satisfaction, for comfort of the people. Religion is for holiness. It's not for comfort and for feeling well. No, it's for holiness. It's very different. It's for fullness. It's for happiness. It's for virtues. It's for love, but it's not for comfort. Because the first thing that Jesus told us is, the last week, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take your cross and follow me. And you know, and He told it very clear, if you follow me, you will never thirst. So in the promise of following Him, it's everything. But at the same time, for following him, I need to deny myself. How I deny myself? This is the greatest denial that you can make from yourself. Faith. It's the most difficult thing because you have to deny yourself. And that is very difficult. As you know, I know it very well. But faith is breaking to other, opening to other, letting other to be the source of my life, letting other to be the one who is the giver, letting other to be the beginning and the source of my existence. You know the expressions? 1 John 5:1. First letter of St. John, chapter 5. Those who believe are begotten by God. So now you can test your faith in this phrase. Those who believe are begotten by love. Am I living as a person who is begotten by other? I don't think so. What means that? That I don't believe. Those who believe in me will never thirst. No, it's John 6:24. Those who believe in me will never thirst. What means? I am thirsting a lot of things. What means? No problem. I don't have to doubt of the word of God. I was to configure my faith to the word of God because the content of faith is not my ideas. The content of faith is the revelation of God. So the content of faith is the word of God. That is the content of faith. So when Jesus is saying something, what I have is to mold, to form, and to adapt my thinking to the word of God. It's clear? It's very important, because it's not that we go to prayer and everything is very difficult. Prayer is very easy, but prayer needs faith. Without faith, it's impossible to pray. And the place where we nourish faith is prayer. That reason is difficult. That is the reason people give up prayer, because they think that it's about their feelings. And prayer is not about feelings. Prayer is about faith, hope, and love. And the fourth, that isn't the last, but it's not the least, humility. And it's like a cascade. When you begin the first, hope comes to your heart. You're understanding that my Father has given his Son to die for me in a cross. If I understand the amazing love he has for me, I understand that he's almighty, that he's my Father, that he has created me for the union with him, that only him can achieve that union with him. I mean, how am I not going to expect and to await and to hope everything from him? Because I don't believe. Can be the only reason that my hope is not working. Because I insist, the problem here is the faith is more about the truth of God, the reality of God. The truth and reality are the same thing. We are not going there now, but so reality and truth is the same thing. When you say that is real, you can say that is truth. And they are interchangeable in English and in Spanish and in every language. Why? Because that is real means that is out here, exists there. What means that is truth? It means that I am knowing it, and I know that it is out there. It's existing by itself. That means that it's real. Because we grasp reality, and when we grasp reality, we understand the truth. That is the truth. What is the truth? The truth is very simple. It's the capacity human beings have of grasping the things that are real. That reason, heaven is a contemplation of the truth. Why? Because I will see God, but the effect of receiving God in me is the truth. I mean, and the truth of God will, when we see him face to face, we will become as him, because, you know, knowledge is something a little amazing. If I say, you look this bottle of holy water, what is happening? Where is the bottle of holy water? It's here in my hand. But what is happening? The bottle of holy water is coming inside you and it's in your consciousness now. It's something amazing. So a reality, I am getting the form, because this is different that look here. And it's another thing, this is another form. But now the form with the color blue and the white and this marker with is going inside your conscience. And if I begin to describe this, that begins to get your conscience and your attention. And if I am a good speaker and I am able to describe it with power and with beauty, and you It's amazing, but it's the reality who is coming inside me. That is knowledge. And that is knowing the truth. If I say, this is a fish, you say, well. You say, no, Father, that is not true. Why? Because in reality, this is a marker. That is the truth. It's so simple as that. But there is a truth of God that the only way we can access to it, we can open to it, we can let it to come to my life, is faith. The reason faith is so important in prayer. It's the key of prayer. And when I have faith, I go to hope. When I understand who is God, what he can, what is his wisdom, what is my wisdom, what is his power, what is my power, immediately I am coming here. I am getting humble. Because I understand that I can do nothing here. It's all about him. In heaven, we will achieve the fullness of humility. Because we will see God face to face. And in that moment, we will understand that he's the giver of everything to every being in the universe. But now we can understand here, we will see it in like an experience. How I can move this finger because he's first cause and I am second cause. And that is the only God that exists. The other gods don't exist. God is God. And he's God because you say, for example, that is a very important point that you bring in your prayer. He's creator. What I am saying the proclamation of faith. He is Father, Creator, Almighty, and he gave his Son for us. I mean, but if the contents of faith are not coming to my heart, so to my relationship with him in prayer, how am I going to pray? I can't. I can think now, I can go, but the prayer is not about thinking. Prayer is about God bringing you to the mystery of his love and you opening to the power of God so he can work in you. That is prayer. And more you believe in him, more you hope in him. Because I insist, this is about more understanding. It's about the intelligence. It's not only about the intelligence, because it's a personal relationship. Brings me to a personal relationship. But this that brings me to a personal relationship, because hope is putting all my strength, all the graces, and all the gifts that I need only in him and nothing in me. That is Christian hope. Is now moving what? My desires. And we will see, you will hear Father Armando talk, the only prayer problem in prayer you have is your desires. You don't have two problems, you have one problem. It's your desires. And God is wanting us to open our desires to him. Our desire is the way we love. What is a desire? A desire is something that I don't have it yet, some good, whatever kind of good. Can be God, or can be hunting, or can be jewelry, or can be paintings. I don't know. But when you don't have something, you desire it. When you have it, you rejoice in what is good. I like fishing, for example, or hunting. When I go to hunting, I am there, I rejoice. It's something that I am there. I have to prepare it. I have to take the day that I can go. I look for the place. When the eggs are there and I am trying to get there, I am rejoicing in what I am doing. Why? And that in every level. So desire, is a word I am going to use a lot, is of a good that I don't possess already. Love is the foundation of everything. If I love something, it's I have an experience of goodness. And that is what God wants to give you in your hearts, in prayer. Prayer habitually is consolation. If you don't have consolation in prayers, okay, worry. Why? Because God wants to give you consolation. Why? If he is not giving consolation, it's because he's wanting me to change my desires. It's clear. It's very simple. But we have to work it. Because I have to know what are my desires. You know your desires, you know your fears. Your fears are coming from your desires. So the root of all fear is desire. Because I desire to be healthy, I am afraid of being sick. Because I desire to be rich, I am afraid of being poor. Because I desire that nothing happened to me ever, I am afraid that something happened to me whenever. I mean, because you desire something, you fear the contrary. So your fears can teach you about your desires. It's clear? Because they are caused by your desires. And it's very important. I remember a priest that is very good, very Madrid. I say, want to know yourself, know your fears. I mean, what are my fears in my life? For knowing myself. Because I mean, we are beings of desires. And the other is love. So when you go to prayer, try to love God. Try to, don't look for yourself. I mean, try, if you have a little difficulty because you are not getting there quickly or in the best way, make a little sacrifice. My God, I am going to stay here. I am dry or I am not dry. I am with joy or I am with whatever. I stay here with you my half hour. I am not going to give up. If you make that effort in prayer of wanting to love him, you are conquering all the temptations that can come to your prayer. Because all the temptations are trying to bring you out from prayer. You make the commitment of love. I want to be with you. I know that this is the way. There have been thousands of saints, and all they have become saints only one way, as you know. What? Prayer life. What is the greatest saint you know? The ones who have the greatest level of prayer. Jesus. Jesus was always praying. The passion even is a prayer. His life is prayer. Always. When he's acting, everything is coming from the Father. Always. Mary is the second greatest saint. Why? Because all is prayer in Mary. It's all action of God in the soul. You are called to live in prayer. You are called to live from God, in God and for God. But the prayer is the moment I have to take the things of my heart that are not letting me live from his love, in his love, and toward the union with him. And I have to face them, because if I don't pray, I don't get to that disposition of a child of God who is living as Mary, as Jesus, and the saints in every moment of their life, moved by the Holy Spirit, moved by the love of God. Why? The first stage for getting there, what is? Prayer. You don't begin to take the ego. And the ego is very easy to take it. We will see it. But you have to take it. Because the ego is me. And prayer is about communion of love. Because you are created for a communion of God that is called eternal life. When you read eternal life in the words of Jesus in the gospel, eternal life is the communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you have it already here. Those who eat my body and drink my blood, they have eternal life. He's not saying they will have eternal life. The problem is us now. If we believe first, of course. I insist, faith is the key of everything in a spiritual life. Because it's the first day, that reason St. Paul is always talking about faith. Because God cannot work out of faith. Because out of faith only exists the psychological level that is all ego. We will see and we will try to explain it. So when you go to prayer, try to bring to your conscience, be aware of these things. So make them, actualize them. Personalize them. Make them, now that it's personal, it's not a faith of my fathers. It's not a faith of my uncle or my mom. No, it's my faith that I am coming now in a personal relationship with God. And that personal relationship with God is everything in prayer. If you keep there, God will act. If you are persistent and faithful in prayer, I insist, the enemy, in the moment he sees a person who is trying to pray, is going to put difficulties. Why? Because your way of holiness is your prayer. So Satan, if he sees that a person is trying to pray, is going to put some difficulties. I mean, it's in the Catechism of the Church, a wonderful number. One of the parts, the Catechism of the Church has four parts. And the last part is prayer. As you know, it's the fourth part of the Catechism of the Church. First is about faith. Second is about the celebrating the faith, the sacraments. So the first part of the Catechism of the Church is about this, faith. The second is the sacraments, so the action of God in our lives through faith. Because it's about how we celebrate our faith. So we open through our faith, through the action of God, through the graces of God, through the sacraments. The third part of the Catechism of the Church is charity. Is how our faith become an imitation of Christ. how we let the Holy Spirit, that is the source of charity, to work in our hearts so we can achieve the fulfillment. Because Christian life is not about commandments. Christian life is about charity. The commandments are for those who don't want to love. It's clear? That is an expression of St. Paul in 1 Timothy. I mean, the commandments are for those who doesn't want to love. If I want to love, how somebody is going to say to me, don't lie? I mean, what are you saying? Don't steal. I mean, what are you saying? Don't hate. Don't get and be envious. Don't be lustful. I mean, if you are loving, how you are going to be lustful? That is the contrary of loving a person and using a person as an object. Of course, these guys and these people that we have in the church, they have no relationship with God, because in the spiritual life, everything is for charity. So everything is for love. The goal of a spiritual life is not faith, is not hope, is love. Is that God can pour in me the Holy Spirit and the graces that the Holy Spirit brings to my heart. That is the goal of prayer. You have a very powerful text that sum up that. I'm not going there. Romans 5:1-5. That talks about how we are rejoiced in trials, because in trials our faith and our hope are put on test. And now we can grow more. And growing more and being more patient, we can receive greater gifts of God, because the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and the Holy Spirit never disappoints something who is hoping in Him. And now we need to open there. I mean, so I insist this. We will talk other day more about this, especially humility and hope. But I insist, when you go to prayer, move these four virtues. They are in your power. Why? Because they are virtues. They are not feelings. I mean, I believe in Jesus. Why? Because He is worthy of faith. Now I have a lot of pain. Now I am almost getting sleep, and sleepiness is coming to my heart. Okay, I don't get the problem. I know that this moment is in the divine providence of God for showing me my weakness. So I keep in faith whatever is happening. So faith is the way you let God in the circumstances of your life to be God, instead of closing here. So this is try to work. We will talk. I will give you a paper also with the four steps and guidelines of prayer. That is a help for moving this, because in prayer you work this free, your prayer will work always. Why? Because I go to prayer, and now I am dry. Okay, but I begin to move my faith. I begin to move my hope. I begin to move my humility. Understanding, my God, I can't do nothing. I need you. I am poor. I need your love. I need your grace. I need your action. But if I don't move the virtues, the ego is coming. Because I insist, this is antagonic. When St. Paul is talking about the spirit, and he's talking about the flesh is the ego. The spirit is openness to God. And they are antagonic. They are opposite. They cannot be together. So when I am in the psychological level, that is my ego, and we are there, test tomorrow your day. Everything that you are thinking is about you. But you are not created for being there. You are created for living in front of others, in His love, in His power, in His wisdom, in His divine providence, and toward Him. But now it says, depend on you. Is clear the point? Some question about this? It's very important. Some question?
So, Father, faith is the beginning, entrance into
a spiritual life.
Into spiritual life, but the ultimate goal is love of God.
Yes.
That's the goal.
Today, the first reading of Corinthians was that, no?
Today's
first reading is about that. It's about how the greatest of all gifts is the greatest of all charisms is love. And faith and hope are there, but faith and hope will disappear. Only love will remain. And faith and hope are for charity. So faith and hope are for going to the union with God. Faith and hope are for opening me the way. It's the instruments I use for going to God. How? First, understanding who is Him, And second, putting all my desires in him so he can work in me. Because hope is putting all your desires in God so he can work in you. Essentially, the desires of your holiness, the desire of your happiness, the desire of being the man that you are called to be, the desire of being the wife and the husband you want to be, the desire to be the grandparent you want to be. All these desires, if they are not in God, they are not going to be accomplished in your life. You need to open them to God. God knows your desire. Contemplative prayer, meditative prayer is for understanding better things and reflecting, but contemplative prayer is when I stop talking because I know that he knows my desire, so I expose my being to him, I let all my desires before him, and now he has his work to do. Because he's God, no? What I'm going to do. So I let him do work. I mean, and he's there, and the graces are infinite greater. But for going there, you need enough faith, enough hope for knowing that who is him, how much he loves you, and enough hope for keeping your desires open to him. And that's what is contemplative prayer, that everyone here is called to that. Everyone here is called to the union with God, to the transformation union with God, the mystical marriage with God. And if you don't get there, you will purify your heart in purgatory for getting there. Because those who go to heaven only are saints. Because God is holy. That is the expression of St. Paul. Strive for holiness. Without it, no one will see God. Thanks God, there is purgatory. But it's there. Strive for holiness. Why? Because we have to strive for holiness. How we strive for holiness? Prayer is the way. More I pray, more I desire to be holy. Because I know that is his action, it's not you. You think that you are the one who are going to make you holy? Wait a little. That you will see how the things work. But I want to read this text of the Catechism of the Church. The Universal Call to Prayer. Here it is. There is a number 2725. I will read sometimes. I will put it in my book of prayer. I will put this number. I know it by memory, but you can put it in your 2725. Prayer is both. The title of the section is The Battle of Prayer. The Battle of Prayer. So when you go to prayer, be aware that you are going to a battle. And he's going to explain against whom. Prayer is both a gift of grace, first, and a determined response on our part. So I have to be determined. I have to be a determination that this is a battle. So I am not going, it's a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. I mean, Santa Teresa of Avila has sometimes, she was going to prayer and she wrote, I mean, it's like I have to break my body. I have a strong will, but I have a resistance inside me to go into prayer that I cannot understand it. And those days, when I conquer myself and I go to prayer, the gifts in prayer were greater than when I was very happy going to prayer. Prayer is a battle. Have this very clear in your life. It always presupposes effort. Hear this word. This is the teaching of the Church. It always presupposes effort. I mean, the great figures of prayer of the Old Covenant before Christ, as well as the Mother of God, the saints, and he himself, Jesus, all teach us this. Prayer is a battle. Any more clear? Against whom? And here is the problem. I don't battle against you. Because against ourselves. No, it's against myself. He's talking for everyone here. Against myself, that is the greatest battle of prayer. Against myself. And against the wiles of the tempter who does all he can to turn man away from prayer. And look what is making prayer the Catechism of the Church. Away from the union with God. Satan is going to do all he can for what? For you don't go there, because if you keep in prayer, if you are faithful to your prayer life, you will get the union with God. You will drink the living water. You will be with the Samaritan in receiving that gift that Jesus promised. But you have to have the determination of understanding that this is a battle. And I have to make an effort. And I insist the essential effort is denying my ego and opening in faith, hope, and humility and love to God. That is the difficult evil. The greatest evil that is in prayer that I have to conquer is that is coming out from myself. Why? Because faith is a way of crucifying yourself. Why? Because it's taking yourself from the center and putting the love of God first. This is St. Paul. I am quoting Galatians 2:19-20. I am crucified. And I am crucified through faith in the Son of God that died and gave himself for me. But he's not crucified. He's there talking and writing a book. Why? How he's crucified? He's crucified through faith. Because he's living from faith. He's living from other. He's not living from him, nourishing his ego. I mean, more you are here, it's a very good crucifixion, because bring you to the fullness of your humanity and to the union with God. But it's a way of crucifying the ego. Why? Because the ego cannot give me nothing. When you are in the egocentric level, you are looking for yourself, and you are looking, and you are going to find exactly what you are looking. What? Yourself. Nothing else. Now don't complain. Because you have what you are looking. You look for God, you find God. You look for yourself, you find yourself. So simple as that. All the Bible is a book about that. How those who are looking for God, my soul is thirsting for you. My body pines for you as a dry desert. I mean, imagine what is that? What is saying? The body is pining for God. It's longing for God. It's not the soul, it's the body who is pining for God. The problem is that we have created a God that is very weird. But God is there for fulfilling your humanity in your soul and in your body. It's for both. And so the body can be spiritualized. The body can be glorified. And you can manifest the glory of God through your body. Because that's the meaning of the body. The meaning of the body is bringing God to this world. That is the reason the body was created. The body was created for bringing the mystery of God to this world. That is the central thesis of Jean Paul II in Theology of the Body. But, well, go there. So word these things because they are very important. And continue here, because the text is amazing. This: we pray as we live, because we live as we pray. So you have to get a connection between your prayer and your life. If you want to pray, you need to change things in your life that are contrary to prayer. Contrary to God, contrary to the union with God, contrary to the gifts that God wants to give you. It's clear, no? Because if we are living all the day in Twitter and in Facebook and in watching TV and Netflix, and now I go to prayer, be sure that your prayer is going to be everywhere except here. Obviously, no? How is it going to be in other way? It's impossible. If I only worry about whatever, my money, my work, and I go to prayer, you are going to be distracted with your money, your work, and your things in prayer. Why? Because we live as we pray, because we pray as we live. It's very important to get there. If we do not want to act habitually according to the Spirit of Christ, so if I am not wanting to act habitually, now he's talking about life, neither can we pray habitually in his name. So if I am not trying to open to the Spirit of Christ and living as Christ, the Spirit of Christ is with capital letters, is the Holy Spirit. The spiritual battle of the Christian's new life is inseparable from the battle of prayer. It's inseparable. So I don't want to pass a minute. At what time we finish?
30.
Okay. So now we go to the... We will go, because it's a deep thing, we will not go the next day to this same matter, because it is no limits.
On the table.
On the table, I put it. This is good. Maybe we need this.
This is great.
This one. Now this first meditation, that is the principle, the foundation, the beginning, the essence of a spiritual life, is very simple, but this, you will see that it's not so simple. It's very simple because it's all about the love God has for you. Spiritual life is only about that. Spiritual life is about the love God has for you. It's only that. Is only that. Spiritual life is about Jesus Christ. It's about the Son of God who has been crucified for me, for God teaching me how He loves me now and here. It's not about how He loved me 2,000 years ago. No, the Eucharist, that is the essence and the life of the church, is for teaching us every day that He loves me with that love now and here. Because He's again, in a sacramental way, giving Himself totally. And He created the Eucharist. He did the passion for the Eucharist. So for perpetuating in history that action of love, that is the Eucharist. And every time you go to the Eucharist, remind the love God has for you. That is the reason that the Eucharist is so powerful. Because this is my body that is given up for you. That is my blood that is shed for you, for making with you a marriage, for making with you a union, with making with you a new, an eternal covenant. Covenant means that, a union with you. And this blood that I shed for you is for forgiveness of your sins. So my love is not because you are good. It's because I love you in your sinfulness and in your sins. And that is the foundation of a spiritual life. And at the same time, the other part of the Eucharist is that He wants to bring me where? To the union with Him. When I receive Jesus, what He's saying Jesus to me? I believe that I am receiving Jesus, but who has created the Eucharist? For what He has created the Eucharist? For coming to me as my as the food and the life of my soul. But now, I mean, so in the spiritual life, everything is about the love God has for us. And that is the foundation of everything. So you have to go to, we are going to touch in this meditation, and we will go back a little the next day to the greatest desire that you have. Who is ruling your behavior, is ruling your thinking, is ruling your affective level, emotional level, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your husband and your wife, your relationship with everyone. It's the desire of being loved. Did you know it? But it's very strong. Maybe we need to dry also. This desire was your relationship with your parents. So, how was your relationship with your parents is how you are configured as a person. It's how you are molded as a person. That has good things and bad things. But this desire is what rules human existence because we need love. So try to recognize it when you go to prayer. My God, I am poor of spirit. I need love. Do you understand me? That I need love? I don't need a little bit of love. I need a lot of love. And I know that you want to give it to me. So I am coming here for that. I mean, you come to prayer for receiving love. Your greatest need is the need of love. Everything that you are doing in this life is for being loved, appreciated, wanted, valued, recognized, praised, popular, the children say, is there. I mean, the desire of being loved is the strongest desire you have. It's a desire of a child, no? I need the love of my parents. If I don't have love of my parents, I am going to have wounds in my heart. I am going to have some kind of problems in my heart. So the love of our parents in the plan of God, why? Because my parents have a mission as parents. And their mission is opening me to the love of God. That is the mission of the parents. The parents don't have any other mission. Why? Because they don't have power. They don't have nothing. They are very little. They are very poor. And they have to recognize that. The earlier they recognize that, the better. Why? Because your child needs love. And we don't need love as other things. We need love for being ourselves. That is very different. So you are a person in the measure you understand that you are loved. And you are experiencing that love. And you are receiving that love. And that love is the constitution of your existence and your being. Only there you are a person. It's clear what I am saying? It's tough, but it's clear. Why? Because being a person and being a gift is the very same thing. That is another thesis of Theology of the Body of John Paul II. Why? Because we are creatures. And the first dimension of our existence is that we need love because we are created for living from love. It's not that we can live without love, no. It's in the moment I am not living from love, I have psychological problems. More degree, less degree, the people who have a very bad experience of love of their parents, they have very deep wounds inside, and sometimes it's very difficult to heal them, no? As we know, I mean, the psychiatrists and psychology is for trying to heal people that in their relationship with their parents, they have a lack of love. And why I'm saying this? So we get it. I get aware that I need love. But now I'm going to make you another question. Where are you going to get love? Your wife, your husband? Your parents, your children, when they grow, they show you how much they love you. As you show to your parents also at their age. So the same thing. I mean, it's not that they are worse than us. We did the same with our parents, more or less, no? So it's part of it. Why? Because they get that you cannot give them the love you need. They get it. Growing is understanding that my parents cannot give me the love that I need. That is growing. So when a person is growing, so that is the reason it's so important for parents understanding that growing is getting aware, being aware that my parents are not the source of love, that my parents has no divine providence, that my parents has no power, that my parents cannot help me, that my parents are very weak and very poor and are like me, full of mistakes and full of things. So that is growing. And in that moment, if the child, I am not from the beginning trying to open the heart of my child to the love of God, what is going to happen? That the desire of being loved, he's going to put it in the world. So in the world, I mean around, in things, in people, this desire of being loved that is essentially about myself is what defines your existence. The problem of this desire of being loved in the world is selfishness itself. That is the problem of this desire. That is selfishness itself. It's the root of the seven capital sins. This desire. Well, I will explain tomorrow or the next day or whatever. Why? Because you are created for living from love. But in the moment you are looking for love outside, but I cannot look for love in my husband and my children. If you are looking as the first movement of your heart for loving them, you don't love them. You are looking for them loving you. So you can't love them. It's clear what I am saying. If I am my first movement, so because this desire is not like other things. And how I know that I am looking first for loving them or first for loving me? It's because when they treat me in a way that I don't like, I get upset, I get angry, I get disappointed. I was looking for an answer, so they love me. When you are loving a person, you are not looking for the answer. You are looking for the good of that person. And if that person don't accept the good, that is an action that you are doing, that person is wounded in his heart because he's harming himself. But I don't get upset because he's not answering me. I get sad or wounded, and because love makes you vulnerable, and so the other person is not getting the good that you are giving him. But not because you are now upset, or I am not going to do that again, because when I do it, they don't give me thanks. So that means that you were looking only for this. It's very strong. I mean, it's so strong that it's ruling our behavior. All the media are trying to move this desire. All the advertisements are trying to move this desire. If you have that, they will look to you. They will like, you have this hair that is moving with the wind, like mine, no? You will, everyone will look you, and you will turn, and the guys will say, ah. You look at the advertisement, it's all. You have this deodorant, or you have this car. It's all about this. It's that they look me. It's very, 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 very strong. The only way you can stop this desire is opening it to God. And learning to open it to God always. Because God is the source of love. And your heart is always in need of love. Because you are created for living from love. So you are a person because you are created in the awareness that you are created in love. That is the mystery of the parents. The parents are there for teaching the child through their behavior that he is a gift, that he is loved, or she is loved, by his own sake, not by any other reason, not because he's good, not because he's doing the things well, not because he's has a good function. But that's only happened in a marriage between a man and a woman. Even in homosexual marriage, that cannot happen because the child is not a gift. It's a possession that we get because we have rights for having a child. And in that moment, the person has lost the meaning that he has as a person and can't get that ever. Why? Because the essence of being a person is being a gift. And the weakest is the person, the more love is the person in the family. A person who has a Down syndrome, that person is more loved in the family than any other place. Why? Because the family doesn't love by what you do, what is your functionality, what is your... No, the family loves you because you are a person and you are a gift. And this is the only place in this world that the person receives that grace. It's true that this is part of the plan of God. Why? Because what he's wanting us is to open through our parents to his love. That many times was not such. So we have a lot of experiences, everyone, that lack of love in our families. Why? Because my parents cannot give me the love because there are another 9 children there. And you are trying to absorb everything. You want to be loved always. You need love always. And the only way of that healing that problem of the heart is opening it to God. The essence of prayer is coming to the love of God and opening my desire of being loved to God. That is the essence of a spiritual life and of prayer, that I need love. The love of God is called the Holy Spirit. That is what God has created us for, giving us his love. So the Christian life is not an attachment that we put to human life, no. Or you live from God, or you are living in selfishness. You choose where you want to be. Because living from God means living from love. And now I'm not trying to be loved by others. Jesus was not looking for being loved by others. That reason he went through the passion with the humiliations, and he was emptied himself, humbled himself, and made himself obedient unto the cross. Why? Because he was always living from what? From the love of the Father, from the Holy Spirit, as Mary. And she's able, they don't care if they honor them, they glorify them. No, if you want to be the first, be the last. If you want to be the greatest, be the server of all. Why? Because they are living other level of humanity, the level of the relationship with God. Being children of God means living from the love of God. Because in the moment this desire of a child is in the world, this desire when it's in the world is childish, is immature, never let me grow, and it's selfishness itself, as we put here. And it's the root of all sins. We can go and finish with that. So what we get for this week is, do the steps of faith. Faith is about the love God has for you. The essence of faith is that he loves me. But he loves me not with a kind of feeling. No, he loves me and he wants to pour his graces in me. He wants to give himself to me. But now I need to open to him. So I need faith, I need hope, I need the desire of the union with him that is called charity, and I need humility for understanding what? I need you. The essence of prayer is our poverty. The poorer I am is my thirst for being loved. It's my thirst now for also loving him. But there is a first thirst that is, I need love. That is the reason the first beatitude is, blessed the poor of spirit. Because there is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, you know, is God. It's not a place or a thing. Blessed the poor. Why? Because more poor you recognize you are, more God is going to give you. If you think that you are very rich, you will never receive nothing. I mean, is Mary making the Magnificat? When Mary is praying the Magnificat, what he's saying? He disdained the rich and he fulfilled the poor. I mean, is the problem of prayer is the problem that we are before God. And he's the giver of everything to every human being. So this, that is a gift, our parents are for bringing us the psychological level and opening it to the spiritual level. That is the reason we need parents, for opening this level of the person to God. When the parents don't do that, the person is here. And more a person, less love a person receives from his parents, more difficult is to take this from the world. There is a proportional dimension. But what is here the point? That more wounds I have, so less love I receive from my parents, get this point, more powerful I am before God for receiving his graces. It's clear what I'm saying? That more wounds I have from my childhood, less love I receive from my parents, more powerful I have before God for receiving his love and his graces. Because God is healer, essentially healer. I came as a physician for those who are sick. He's not talking about physical sickness. He's not talking about any psychological interior sickness, that all psychological sickness are only one. I don't have love. A person who is in love is in fullness. A person who is receiving love is always in fullness. I have come, you have life, and life in abundance. So he has come for bringing us to fullness. Remain in my love. As the Father loves me, so I love you. Remain in my love. If you remain in my love, you will bear fruit in abundance. Without me, you can do nothing. Why? Because in the moment you are not remaining in his love, so you are not opening your heart to the love of God, where are you looking for love? Here. In persons around you. In your boss, in your whatever people who are around you. And now you are not going to receive nothing. Because this is the key of the essence of the gospel. The essence of the gospel is that there were people that did everything for what? For being seen by others. You know who were these guys? Were the Pharisees. The people that Jesus faced more strongly. Jesus has no problem with sinners, but Jesus has a problem with those who this desire is in the world, because he cannot work there. You know what is the contrary? The contrary, what is? You, when you do the things, open to your Father, who is in the secret of your heart. And your Father, who is in the secret, who is in the hidden, will reward you. What means will reward you? Will give you the love that you need. I mean, but in the moment I am not there, I am here. And this is a battle. That is a battle of prayer. But we have to battle it. We go to prayer for receiving love. I mean, how am I going to receive love? Hello. 9:25. We have 5 minutes. Any question? So what I invite you is work your faith about the love of God and try to understand this desire in you. This desire has 1,000 manifestations. One of them is pride. Why? Because now, because I want to be loved, I need to think highly about me. I cannot be a poor person. I cannot be a little person. So I need to exalt myself and think that I am better. You know, things, people with pride is only looking for love. They have an experience of lack of love in all their lives. So more pride I have, more ridiculous I am. What is the contrary of pride? Humility. What is humility? Recognizing that I need love. That I need him for being myself, that without him I can do nothing. That is humility. The essence of humility is understanding without him I can do nothing. Nothing good, why? Because in the moment I am not living from his love, I am here. And you are there as I am there. Try to know that you are there, because it's not a problem. Because if you learn that you are there, you will be able to bring now your lack of love to God. Because that is salvation. Salvation is because you can bring to him what is contrary to love in your heart. But what is contrary to love? This desire is generating in us all our behaviors. Second, vanity. What is vanity? That now I want you to think highly about me, please. Honor me, think that I am very nice or handsome or good doing that or going to. Is now is wanting that the other think about me that I am better than I am. When all the saints are in the same place, where they want all the people think bad about them. So they are exactly in the country where we are. Why? Because they don't care about what the people think, but they don't want that vanity come to their hearts. You know, there is a priest who was coming, a saint, was coming from the pulpit making the preaching, and a person said, "Oh, wonderful, wonderful preaching, Father." And he... The same thing was saying me, Satan, in this moment. I mean, he don't want the praise. The praise is, oh, how well you have preached. I mean, what? For what? Vanity is the other. Envy. What is envy? Because you have something that I don't have, and they are going to love you more than me, and they are going to look more you than me, and your car is better than me. I feel bad. Because I want that they look to me, not to you. And they desire me, and they think that I am the pretty one. And if you have more beautiful eyes than me, I am envious because I have these little eyes that are not so good. I mean, I don't know, but it's 1,000 things that this envy comes in our life. What is the other? Lust. The same thing. Lust has a big, very big problem. Because lust is founded in sexuality. And sexuality is the plan of God. We'll see it. So the plan of God is sexuality. And so lust is the... Why is lust? Lust is the desire, especially men, unless the desire somebody loves me. All pornography, all this, is the desire that somebody embrace me, hug me, and look for me where? In the physical level. Don't give nothing. And now pleasure. Why? Because we have another desire that we will see other day, that is the desire of happiness. And instead of looking for happiness, we look for pleasure. What is the result of this looking for love? It's amazing. And looking for pleasure. What is the result? The result is more loneliness. It's amazing. And more sadness. That is the result of every kind of lust. Bring the person to most sadness. That is the reason create an addiction. Why? Because now there is a moment in my imagination that I think that I am love, and I think that I am going to get something, so I need to repeat the action. And repeating the action, I go deeper in sadness and in loneliness, so I need to go again, and because at the end, sadness is deep and loneliness is deep, I need to go to greater things in this sexual level. It's horrible. These all addictions are created here. It's a desire of receiving something, but it's all coming from the emptiness inside, because when you are looking for the desire of being loved outside, you are going to find exactly what you are looking. What? Nothing. That is what Jesus said. I mean, I'm not saying it. I mean, Jesus said it very clear. They have already received their reward. That is what Jesus said about the Pharisees. They were looking for being praised by people, recognized by people, accepted by people. They want to, the people look then and praise them, saying, oh, Father, woo-hoo. And Jesus said very clear, they received already their reward. And you think, what? Nothing. But your Father, who is in the secret, wants to give you love. So you go to the secret of your heart and you open your desires to him, he will fulfill them. So we are here, ambition or greediness. What is, why we want things? Why we want so material things? Because we are empty outside. And now we want the others, that the other thing, that we are rich, that we have a greater house, I mean, that we have a greater car, that we have, and it's the ambition is always coming. Because the emptiness of the heart, and people, the people need to fulfill the with richness. A person who has God, I mean, what he wants to be is poor, because richness in the bottom, what makes me is more dependent, and more empty, because they don't give me nothing. It's the same, has the same problem with sexuality in other level, that is thinking that I have now because. The people disdain you the same way. So, but that ambition of things, that is one of the biggest problems humanity has, is because the emptiness of the heart. More empty is a person of love, more is trying to get things external so the others can think that he's rich, that he has this. Now come to my house and see my pictures, come to my house and see my car. Now you think I have here a horse and a guy who is here with something. I mean, we are in this society, that is the truth, and if you don't have the Adidas or the Nike or this, you're a poor guy. I mean, it's the truth. It's all things for showing off ourselves, because they are so good, the others, that are not any brand, that is. And we are lacking one, gluttony and laziness, and we finish. Or sloth. These two are coming. Gluttony is because the person who is looking for love outside, and many people, especially people that are less pretty, they don't have any satisfaction in this external desire, because this is a satisfaction of thinking that the men desire me. This for women is a big problem, especially if they have a nice body, because it's all about trying to seduce men. That's the reason they dress as they dress, is this movement. So the women dress as they dress for somebody looks to them. The parents that they don't desire them as person, desire theirs as objects of pleasure. So they are making themselves less women, less persons. Each day they dress in that way. It's a problem for them. I mean, when I see women dressing in a provocative way, the only thing that comes to my heart is, what a poor woman. Because she doesn't have nothing. She's trying to give something that why? Because she is not able to give the misery that she is as a woman. We got there the other day. But it's there, I mean. The gluttony is because people don't get that satisfaction, and when you are empty inside, you need satisfaction. You are created for happiness. When you don't have happiness, when you don't have joy, when you don't have peace, you look for it wherever. It's clear that point. Eating, gaming, watching Broncos and Broncos and Broncos, and after Broncos, another time Broncos, and again Broncos. And I mean, but there are people that all the day are there. I mean, why? Because they are totally unsatisfied, so they need some excitement outside, because their emptiness, and this is a kind of gluttony of TV. I mean, or the children with the games, it's the same problem. It's because they are so empty inside that they need to create external satisfactions. that are momentary satisfactions that all then happen the same. You are in more loneliness and you are in more sadness after them. That is when the children are playing game a lot of time, they are like, you see them and they are like bored on. They are lazy, they don't want to do nothing. Why? Because the result of this. And the last laziness, that is the worst, is when you don't have joy in spiritual things. When your desires are here in the world, God cannot work in you. And now you are empty. So you are lazy for spiritual things. You are lazy for prayer. You are lazy for going to mass. You are lazy for reading things that can make you good. But you are not lazy for going to the bowling because there is a girl that you like. You are not lazy for going to ski that you like ski. No, you are lazy for the things that make you grow as a human. That is the greatest of all human problems that in the spiritual life is called acidia. That is the for the fathers of the church, they don't put a sloth or idleness or laziness. They put acidia. That is the root, the worst of all, because it means that your heart is distant from God and you are not letting God to give you joy and peace and fullness and consolation in the spiritual things. Because I insist, and I finish with this, God gives consolation habitually to those who are looking for him. And if I'm not receiving consolation, the only thing I have to look is, where are my desires? If you try to change your desires and open them to God, you will see how God works. Because God loves you, but he cannot love you. He loves you, but he cannot give you graces if you are harming yourself. So you are putting your desires in places that are making you selfish. And God is not going to give consolation to a person who is destroying himself. It's clear, no? How? I mean, but God habitually gives consolation to the soul. And if we are not receiving it, try to move your faith, what we put before, your faith, your hope, your humility, and your love. Because I receive consolation, and I am, every day. And some days I don't receive a clear consolation. Those days is when God talks me more deeply. I mean, the things that we are looking for are self-gratification, and that is not the plan of God. The plan of God is your holiness. And prayer is for your holiness, not for feeling well, no. It's because I want to be holy. I am created for being holy. I have a mission in this world. If I don't pray, I will not accomplish my mission. Because the mission is accomplished in prayer. Because when a person becomes a prayerful person, all is action of God in his soul, in her heart. Mary is full of grace. Why? Because God is always working in her. That is prayer, letting the grace of God to pervade my existence so I can become a person who is in communion with others. Because we are created for communion, not for living in the psychological level, that is the individualistic level. We ask Mary to help us. We finish. I have passed. Sorry. We pray to God, asking him to give us a humble heart as Mary and Jesus and all the saints, understanding that God wants to do in us great, amazing things. But it's his action, it's not our goodness or whatever. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen. And the place where you find God always, where he wants to be praised, adored, loved, and your faith come, is inside you. That is the place of God in your life. And your interior life is the way God wants to manifest from the depth of your heart in you. We give glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you very much.